You're listening to Polsinelli Podcasts, produced by national law firm Polsinelli, providing practical legal guidance for better business decisions.
Hello, I'm Kelly Stoes. I'm a shareholder with Polsinelli in our Kansas City office. I'll be one of your speakers today, along with my colleague, David.
And I'm David Vallis. I'm a shareholder in Polsinelli in a Chicago office.
We co-chair the firm's real estate litigation group, and we'll be sharing insights today regarding leases and licenses.
There's no denying that online shopping and changes in consumer spending habits have had a profound impact on brick-and-mortar shopping centers. Rapid advances in technology have changed how and where consumers shop, how they spend their money, and how they spend their time.
That's right, David. The impact is really evident to anyone who has visited a shopping mall in the last couple of years.
For the past half century, retail giants have been steadfast anchor tenants. They drive foot traffic and sales at shopping centers. But amid the so-called retail apocalypse, an unprecedented number of classic anchor tenants are now gating their big box entrances and going dark. More than 20 retail chains have filed for bankruptcy this year, and others are liquidating. They're falling like dominoes. There's no doubt that permanent anchor and inline tenants are the backbone of a successful shopping center, and they're critical to the property's stability and ability to attract and retain institutional investors. However, versatility and flexibility are becoming more and more important.
Many of you listening may have even seen that the International Conference of Shopping Centers, the ICSC, recently published a comprehensive analysis of the current retail environment in their report titled Envision 2020. The ICSC distills various innovative themes in this report that are guiding retail real estate to a brighter future. One critical component to the successful evolution of the shopping center is creating a stronger connection with the community through attractions, events, and promotions that bring a fresh vibrancy to the centers.
That's right. Many shopping centers are hosting community events such as concerts, art shows, or other performances. They're forming partnerships with community organizations featuring activities like yoga classes, health fairs, or traveling expositions. These specialty relationships and other short-term relationships are generally memorialized in a license agreement rather than a traditional lease.
To achieve this versatility, license agreements are a really helpful tool. License agreements are typically used for shared space, shorter-term arrangements, or temporary occupancy. In many cases, this is because it's a shorter form, but really the biggest distinguishing factor between a lease and a license is that a license includes a right to terminate without cause. These license agreements are commonly used for kiosks, carts, RMUs, seasonal promotions, pop-up leasing, and other specialty leasing arrangements. Shopping center owners also typically use license agreements to memorialize advertising and marketing deals, like digital media, sponsorships, or deals with vendors or businesses hosting events within the shopping center.
From a legal perspective, the distinction between a license agreement and a lease is significant. A lease conveys an interest in the real property. It grants the tenant the exclusive possession and control of a specific demised premises for a defined period of time. The right to occupy a premises to the exclusion of others is perhaps the most defining feature of a leasehold interest.
In contrast, a license only grants temporary permission, or really a privilege, to access the shopping center for a limited purpose, and usually for a shorter duration than a lease. A license does not convey any interest in the real property itself. The licensor, which is the shopping center owner, retains some degree of possession and control over the space.
A lease, in contrast, defines the extent and bounds of the demised property, whereas a license agreement may provide that the licensor, again the shopping center owner, may at its discretion relocate the licensee to another location within the shopping center.
Most significantly, a typical license may be revoked or terminated by the shopping center without cause. A termination clause allowing the owner to cancel, revoke, or terminate the agreement without cause is strongly indicative that the agreement is actually a license, whereas a lease is typically terminable only upon some specific event.
Because a license allows a shopping center owner to retain possession and control and to terminate the agreement at any time, license agreements are typically helpful when a shopping center owner wishes to have more flexibility. As shopping centers evolve, they're connecting their communities in new and dynamic ways by showcasing attractions, hosting events, and partnering with community organizations more than ever before. License agreements provide a tool to help manage these temporary and episodic relationships.
So how do you know whether an agreement is a license or a lease? Actually, it's more than just in the name at the top of the document. The distinction between the two depends on various factors. Many shopping center owners routinely use license agreements to memorialize their short-term occupancy of space, but they should really be cautious to understand that the true nature of the arrangement is actually based on the underlying rights granted in the document. Just because an agreement is titled lease or license agreement at the top does not necessarily make it so. Likewise, the characterization of the parties in the document as landlord or tenant, licensor or licensee, or other technical language in the agreement may not be dispositive. Courts across the country typically look beyond the naming of the document and how the parties are referred, and instead look more closely to examine the rights and the obligations of the parties set forth in that document to determine whether it's a license or a lease.
The distinction is an important one. The determination of whether an agreement is in fact a lease or a license can have significantly different legal consequences. Because a lease is a conveyance of a property right, while a license does not convey any real property interest, there are different legal rights attached to each one. For example, leasehold interest may be subject to taxation, while a license may not. A lease may also be assumed or rejected in a bankruptcy, where a license may not in some circumstances. Likewise, a lease may be subject to state landlord-tenant laws that may not apply to licenses.
To determine the intent of parties, the courts consider various factors, including, among other things, whether the possession granted was exclusive, the degree of control retained or exercised by the shopping center owner, and whether the agreement was terminable at will. Several cases offer guidance on this.
In the case of In re Hyman Companies from the Eastern District of Pennsylvania, the tenant, a Chapter 11 debtor, sought to assume a concession agreement providing for the location of its retail sales kiosk and hotel lobby. Applying Massachusetts law, the court held that the concession agreement was a lease because it included terms and limitations that were typical of leases for retail stores. The concession agreement provided that the space was being leased. It used the words rent or rental repeatedly and referred to the premises as being re-letted and to one party as the tenant. The court further noted that the hotel operator did not refer to the concession agreement as a license until after litigation concerning the validity of the purported termination agreement had already commenced, but instead it referred to the document as a lease.
In Stevens v. Rosewell, a court of appeals case out of Illinois, the owner and operator of a McDonald's located on a community college campus brought a declaratory judgment action against county officials seeking to enjoin the collection of back real estate taxes. Although the agreement itself stated that it was a license, the appellate court found it was actually a lease because the agreement was for a fixed term, for fixed rent, there was a fixed location, and most significantly, McDonald's had exclusive control of the kitchen facilities.
Similarly, in Z-Just and Management versus Metro Outdoor, coming from the New York State of Appeals, the case involved a purported wrongful assignment of an outdoor advertising agreement between the plaintiff and the advertiser. The plaintiff asserted that despite the title of the agreement as a sublease, it was actually a license agreement, which is not assignable as a matter of law. The Supreme Court of New York held that the advertising agreement was in fact a lease based upon the language in the agreement that the property was granted exclusively to the advertiser and was not revocable at will. Likewise, in Solces versus Rushmore Plaza Civic Center, the district court in Wisconsin held that a business owner's contract with the city to operate a pizza concession at a civic center was not a license but was in fact a lease and therefore was subject to statutory eviction procedures. The court based its determination on the language in the agreement that granted the property to the pizza concessionaire for its use for a five-year term and required the concessionaire to surrender the property back to the city in the same condition in which it was received.
In contrast, in Millennium Park Joint Venture, LLC v. Houlihan, the Illinois Supreme Court considered whether a taxpayer's concession permit with the City Park District was a lease or a license. The concession permit allowed the taxpayer to use certain portions of the city park to operate a food concession service. The distinction was particularly important there because the applicable tax code authorized a tax assessment on a leasehold interest in tax-exempt property, but not licensed property. the Supreme Court of Illinois held that the taxpayer's agreement with the city was a license, not a lease, and therefore not taxable. The agreement did not permit the exclusive use of any portion of the city park. Further, the agreement gave the city park district extensive control over all aspects of taxpayers' business, including the days and hours of operation, mandatory products and suppliers, employee uniforms, signs, employee conduct, and other portions of the operations. Because the city retained such extensive control, the court determined the relationship was a license.
Lastly, in Kmart Corporation versus Footstar Inc., the Northern District of Illinois considered the enforceability of an indemnity provision of a master agreement between Kmart and the operator of the footwear department in a Kmart store. As an affirmative defense to Kmart's claim for indemnity, the operator asserted the agreement was in fact a lease to which the Illinois Landlord-Tenant Act would apply and render the enforceability provision, indemnity provision, unenforceable. The court concluded that the master agreement was actually a license because it did not specify the extent of the bounds of any particular premises, but instead left that decision to the discretion of Kmart's planning department. The master agreement also stated that the operator of the footwear department was an independent contractor and that the location, size, and department could change at any time. Moreover, the master agreement was not assignable or transferable, and the fees due to Kmart were calculated based solely on gross sales. Lastly, Kmart retained extensive control over the premises and the operator's business. Because it was a license agreement, the Landlord-Tenant Act did not apply, and the indemnity provision was enforceable.
As the cases discussed indicate, whether a relationship is a lease or a license is not always a simple determination.
In order for shopping centers to ensure that their so-called license agreements will be recognized as such and not treated as leases, it's important to understand the unique characteristic of each type of arrangement. By understanding the distinctions, a shopping center can carefully draft license agreements that contain terms giving each party the rights and obligations consistent with the legal relationships they desire, and so help shopping center owners achieve the versatility and flexibility they need to evolve in the current retail environment.
Thanks so much for listening to our podcast today. Please feel free to reach out to us directly if you have any questions about this topic or any other legal matter involving shopping centers.
And we want to remind listeners that the choice of a lawyer is an important decision, and it should not be